So welcome, everyone, to the March Queen's Club Masterclass. This is also exciting. I'm learning how to be a teacher, which is exciting for me, and I'm sure really exciting for you too, right? So here we are. We're going to talk about going from diet mindset to being a normal eater. So first, what we're going to do, I'm going to tell you first, this is what we're going to cover. We're going to have some definitions and examples. We're going to talk about the rules of normal eating. We're going to talk about what you might be thinking. I'm going to give you some steps to change your thinking, and then we'll talk about this worksheet. So I'm going to refer some back to Corinne's workbook, the Deep Dive Taking Control workbook. So if you have yours, great. We're specifically in a little while going to look at page 13 if you want to grab your workbook or print out that page real quick or whatever. Okay, so let's get into definitions. So what does diet mindset mean? Right, that means you question everything on your plan. Is this the right food? Am I eating at the right time? Am I really hungry? Am I, you know, all those things. You have all these questions in your mind, or you have a lot of rules in your mind, like I shouldn't eat dairy, or bananas make me fat, or something like that. Okay. The whole I can have this but not that, good foods and bad foods, all or nothing thinking. Maybe you weigh every day and you look at the number and try and figure out why it changed. That was me, okay? I weighed every single day, and then I would say, okay, I'm up a pound. Wonder why I am. Okay, I'm down a pound. You know, what did I eat yesterday or what did I not eat yesterday? And I told Corinne I was doing this. Seriously, y'all. She told me, you're weighing the contents of your colon when you weigh every day. That's the difference. I was like, oh, okay. But that's diet mindset. That's questioning everything. It's creating a bunch of rules that may or may not be serving you. Here's what normal eaters do, and this is in Corinne's workbook. They think saying yes or no to food is no big deal, right? It's not confusing. There's no judgment about food or about themselves. It's just yes or no. I think about my mom. You know, my mom's been gone for a little while, but I remember her. She was about 5'3", about 120 pounds my entire life, just this little bitty human. And as I think about her, I know that she was a normal eater. She was one of those people who used to eat to live rather than live to eat. How many of us are eating one meal planning the next, right? Or eating one meal and thinking about dessert, or just have food on the brain all the time. My mother was somebody who would forget to eat. She just wasn't hungry, so she didn't need to eat, right? We didn't have a scale at home. She almost never finished what was on her plate. My dad would always finish what was on her plate. He was a big man. And eating just wasn't the most important thing to her. Right? It just wasn't important. So the big differences here are that normal eaters, they still overeat. They just do it without worrying about it or shaming themselves. Okay? I think I'm pretty close to a normal eater now, and I still have overeats. I still have off-plan eats. I just look at it and say, okay, wonder what happened there. Let's see what we can figure out, right? Do my recovery worksheet and move on. There's no beating myself up. There's no shame. It's just all data. They look at things and think about what they do differently next time. They journal about it and they visualize, right? I can't tell you how much I love visualization. I am going to Burger Republic after this class tonight because I told Ken it's 5:30. I'm not going to cook dinner at 7. He's gone to the yoga studio. I said, when you get home, and when I'm finished with the class, we'll go down to Burger. But beer and wine are not on my plan tonight, okay? And we're probably going to be sitting at the bar because that's what we like to do. So I have to visualize going in there and being okay with ordering club soda and a salad because it's Thursday night. I don't plan exceptions on Thursday night. That's just part of my, you know, way of doing things. So I thought about that today and I thought it's going to be fine to go in there and have club soda and a salad. But that's visualization. That's practice ahead of time for your brain. Normal eaters react with thoughtful reflection rather than beating themselves up. Okay, it's a big difference between someone who is in diet mentality and thinking about what they should and shouldn't do and normal eaters. Normal eaters have developed these habits over time, just like diet mentality is developed over time. All thoughts are practiced, y'all. They're hardwired in our brain. Practice thoughts are changed by recognizing them and shifting them in the moment. So let's talk about some examples of the difference between thoughts of normal eaters and thoughts of people in diet mentality. Normal eaters chew, taste, and swallow, right? Diet mentality folks tend to gobble. Normal eaters don't think about calories or macros, but folks in diet mentality shame themselves or worry about planning exceptions. Normal eaters eat what they want and what feels good. Folks in diet mentality eat according to a diet plan or diet rules. Normal eaters think eating isn't the sole focus of a meal, right? Diet mentality folks rush through their meals. How many of you, and I have done this, you guys, how many of you think, I better hurry up and eat all this before I hit my plus two, right? Normal eaters don't think about that. They just stop when it's plus two. Normal eaters check in every few bites. And diet mentality, like I said, I better finish before I hit plus two. Now, there are probably some of you who are saying right now, oh my God, I'm not normal. I'm not doing this to label you, okay? I'm doing this just to show you your thoughts. So the point of this class is to tell you that it's okay to be where you are. Is to show you that you can level up and that leveling up is possible. So I think that's really important here. I'm not sure I'm crazy about the term normal because that indicates abnormal. But if you look at it in terms of mentality and what they're thinking, it sort of makes sense, right? So, and that's what Queen's Club is all about, taking things to the next level. So if you've hit self-judgment, just know that changing your thought around eating is possible, even though it probably feels a little far away. That's when we get into the thought ladder. All right. So this is how I want you to look at this class. I am willing to believe that I can adopt some of these tools, some of these thoughts. I'm open to trying to think of food like a normal eater. And I'm going to try to drop my diet mentality. Okay. Everybody good? Now, what are the rules of normal eating? Okay, there are four of them. According to the book, The Rules of Normal Eating, it's way over there. I'd show it to you. It's called The Rules of Normal Eating. I'll put it in the, I don't want to say show notes, but you know what I mean. Eat when you're hungry. That's rule number one. That means you allow yourself to feel hunger. You accept that hunger is natural and beneficial, and you know the difference between hunger, thirst, and tired. It's a big difference, y'all. Our bodies like to try and tell us we're hungry when we're tired. I actually had this happen to me the other night. It was about 9 o'clock. Oh my gosh, I wanted a beer. I wanted one so bad. I was like, I want a beer. And then I thought, you know what? I think I'm just tired. Why don't I just go to bed? And I did, and I went right to sleep. So the difference between hunger, thirst, and tired is all part of eating when you're hungry and knowing when it's appropriate time to eat. Second rule, choose foods you believe will satisfy you. Okay? That means eliminating the good food versus bad food mentality. Clearing your mind of all those words like should, must, need to, shouldn't, can't, and ideas about what to eat. Okay? I shouldn't eat bananas. I'm supposed to eat greens. Y'all, if anybody tells me I have to eat beets, they're out of luck, right? So, you know, and of course that doesn't count if you have allergies. if you're allergic to fish, you shouldn't eat fish. But if you're not, food is great fuel, right? You don't have to say, I should eat fish, but you can say, I can. Also part of choosing foods you believe will satisfy you is being comfortable saying no to foods you dislike or don't want, even if they're super healthy. You know I don't like beets. I'm not a big seafood eater either. My husband loves salmon. It's supposed to be great fat. Don't care anything about it. Okay? But I don't have a lot of diet mentality around salmon and beets. I'm not sitting there telling myself, I'm going to have to eat these if I'm going to lose weight or if I'm going to keep my weight off. Right? So there's no diet rules around them. All right. Rule number 3, stay connected to your body and eat with awareness. That means you taste every bite. You remain present to the physical sensations of eating, chewing, swallowing, tasting, right? And how your body feels. Okay. Ask yourself if you're enjoying what you're eating. Yesterday, I was sitting right here at my desk and my sweet husband made me breakfast and he brought it upstairs. It was 2 pieces of bacon and 2 scrambled eggs. I ate the bacon because I love bacon. I always eat it first. I got about halfway through the eggs and I was like, this just doesn't taste good. Wait, I'm at my +2. I don't need to eat anymore. But that was a sign to me, even though I eat eggs, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, probably, it's a sign to me that I didn't need anymore. I was at my +2 because I was paying attention to what I was eating. And I was paying attention to how it was making me feel, and it just didn't feel good. So I just stopped. Rule number 4, stop eating when you're full or satisfied. Do all these sound familiar to you guys? Identify physical sensations that tell you that your stomach is satisfied versus full. Feel comfortable with leaving food on your plate or throwing food away. And believe that you can have more of what you're eating at another time. Oh my gosh, my husband. Have y'all heard this story about my husband in the Mexican place? When we go down there, he gets the biggest burrito on the menu. It's got all the stuff in it. It's got all the cheese all over it. It's got, I mean, you empty out the kitchen in the Mexican place into his burrito and that's it. And he eats every last bite. And I look at him and I say, dude, do you think that's the only burrito you're ever going to get? He's like, no, but it tastes good. And he walks out of there miserable. He's not stopping when he's satisfied, right? So 4 rules. Eat when you're hungry. Choose food you believe will satisfy you. Stay connected to your body and stop eating when you're satisfied. Y'all, it's the hunger scale and it's create your own food protocol. That's all it is. Those are the rules to normal eating. We add 3 other basics, right? To help you lose weight. But to be a normal eater, you pay attention to hunger and satisfied, and you pay attention to what you're putting in your body. I want to talk about protocols for just a minute. Okay, we talk about the hunger scale all the time. I want to talk about protocols. To me, and I mentioned this on the call last Saturday, there are 2 parts of your food protocol. The first one is the actual foods that you know you like to eat that make your body feel good. Those are your fuel foods, right? You can make a list. Mine is extensive. You know, don't just put meats and carbs on there. Put pork, steak, hamburger, ground turkey, whatever meat you like, if you like meats. If you don't like meats, they don't go on your protocol. If you're a vegetarian, you don't have meats on your protocol, right? Carbs. Decide what carbs make you feel good and which ones don't. Bread doesn't make Kathy feel good. It might be fine for you, but I stick to potatoes and rice and barley. Quinoa, those are my carbs. Gluten-free pasta, once a week, that's my carbs. The other part of your protocol is your habit protocol. All right, those are the little constraints that you create for yourself that are part of the person that you want to be. So a constraint I have created for myself is that I don't eat after dinner. Well, after dinner, I'm done. I'm done for the night, kitchen closed. Another rule I have for myself is that I drink 80 ounces of water every day. Am I 100% on that? No, but it's still something that I strive for. Another rule I have for myself is 7 hours of sleep at night. Y'all, I've got to have my sleep. I've got to be in that bed. I've got to be resting this brain. So two parts of your protocol, the food part and then the habits around the food and then the hunger scale. That's the rules of normal eating. It's not hard and it's not confusing, but we make it confusing. We ask ourselves all these questions. We worry. We procrastinate. Those are all the ways you avoid taking action, though. They feel busy, but they're not. Common thoughts that come up with confusion are things like, I don't know what my plus two is. Or, but what if I can't eat when I get hungry? Or, I don't know what should go on my protocol. Or, what if I create a protocol I don't like or that doesn't work? All of these are examples of way that you block your own wisdom and good judgment. Let me tell you something about confusion, okay? It almost always is rooted in fear or self-doubt. You're confused because you're afraid of making the wrong decision. You're confused because you don't have enough confidence to make a decision and move forward with it. You're doubting yourself. You're doubting that you're going to make the right decision. So I'm confused really means I'm afraid to try and fail. I'm afraid it's not the right choice. I'm afraid my husband won't like it. It's predicting a terrible outcome before you even give it a shot. It's disaster planning, right? I caught myself with this week. I wanted to tell you about it. I caught a thought. I don't know what I don't know. That was what went through my head. But I don't know what I don't know, right? And it was all about work. And it was about, you know, whether or not I should self-develop. And I was just caught in this, I don't know what I don't know. You know, there must be something else out there that I should learn. And I got anxious and confused and stressed out and all that stuff. And then I thought, this is not where I want to be. This is not confusion. This is self-doubt. That's all this is. This is about, what if I don't know everything I need to know? And then I thought, you know, I get to decide. And maybe I'll just decide that today I know everything I'm supposed to know to do what I need to do today. So that's what I did. But I saw that fly by, and I feel like that's a thought you guys have, right? I just don't know what I don't know. That's why I can't move forward. So think about that. Maybe you know everything you're supposed to know right now, because you do, right? You might as well decide. That's all you know. So that's all you need to know. One of my favorite power thoughts these days, it's right here. It hangs on my monitor. Can you see that? It says, I refuse to complicate this. That eliminates confusion. If I refuse to complicate it, then it becomes simple, right? So I wanted to offer you that thought. I think it's a beautiful thought. We can scenario things to death and create all kinds of devastating stories about what might happen if we make a bad choice. We can mull over choices for days or weeks, trying to make sure ahead of time it's perfect. But what if it's not? What do you make it mean if it's not? The key is to make a decision. I think it's funny that I'm teaching this. Make a decision and be okay with changing it. Be okay with amendments, right? That's what normal eaters do. No drama. They take the drama out of everything. There's no confusion. There's only decisions. There's only yes or no. Okay? So how do you get there, right? How do I become a normal eater and only get to this yes or no? I love this part. 6 steps. But first, let's talk about changing your thoughts, okay? Change is simple, but it might not be easy. Are you okay with that? Ask yourself, are you okay with change not being easy? I'm not saying it's hard, but it doesn't happen overnight. It takes practice, right? It's incremental. Atomic Habits. If you guys have read Atomic Habits, you know about the ice cube. I thought this was a fascinating example. Think about an ice cube that is frozen to 28 degrees. All right, we make a little incremental change in the temperature and we bring it to 29 degrees. Nothing happens. 30 degrees, nothing happens. A few more incremental changes, we're up to about 34 degrees and the ice begins to melt. That's what change is like. It's little bitty steps that add up to your ice melting. And sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back, learning, growing, and making mistakes. And that's okay, right? Because I don't know about y'all, but when I make a mistake, I remember that growth point a whole lot more clearly than I remember if I did something right the first time. Change can be slow. Building new thoughts and believing them takes practice. And change involves discomfort and chatter. The brain likes habit, right? Our brain likes what it's programmed to do. It doesn't want to work real hard. So if you want to change a habit, it's going to talk to you. It's going to say, excuse me, what are we doing? And you're going to have to talk back. So the six steps to change. I love these. Six steps that are essential for changing your eating habits from diet mentality and confusion to normal eating. The first one is curiosity. Okay, create an openness or curiosity about your current beliefs. What are you thinking? You wonder about it without judgment, what you're doing and what your thoughts are behind it and what makes you do what you're doing. You think about it like I would think about you. If you were to lay out all your thoughts and all your motivations and all your diet mentality here on my desk, would I look at you and go, oh my God, you're messed up? Or would I just methodically go through them and say, okay, this is interesting. This one's interesting. And what do you do with this one? You know, would I look at it as data or curiosity? That's how you need to look at it, right? Judging yourself is like running down a dead-end street. You don't go anywhere, right? It helps nothing. Being curious shines a light on your mind and your heart and gives you the information and data you need to begin thinking about what you want to change. Okay? Information and data. Step one, being curious. Step two, treat yourself with compassion. Never say something to yourself you wouldn't say to a friend. No beating yourself up. Be your own coach and your own best advocate. No negative self-talk and no judgment. No drama, right? Step three is taking care of yourself. Caring for yourself is spending time in self-care activities like journaling, planning, doing thought work that sets you up for being ready for habit change. It's not eating, okay? It's finding ways to care for yourself that aren't eating. Practice. Step four is practice. Practice makes progress, y'all, not perfect. Okay? Nobody's ever perfect. If we were perfect, we would have these little halos around our head. We'd be flying around with wings. Okay? Practice makes progress. Practice includes visualizing. We talked about that, right? The more you think or behave in a certain way, the more ingrained the pattern becomes. You are not going to change your thinking overnight, but you also won't change it without curiosity, compassion, care, and practice. Okay? Step five, patience. Sitting with discomfort of wanting results right now and not getting them. Being okay with losing weight slowly because you know you're learning how to lose it forever rather than the quick fix that never sticks. I love that. Quick fix that never sticks. And patience with your mistakes. Okay, you're going to make them. We all do. Back to we're not perfect. And no one ever will be until we have halos. Step six, persistence. Okay, the ability to keep putting one foot in front of the other, no matter what, no matter how frustrated or hopeless you feel, no matter what mistake you had, no matter whether or not you are maintaining or gaining. It's having that mentality, I'll figure this out. All right, six steps to change. Curiosity, compassion, care, practice, patience, and persistence. So how do you know you can drop diet mentality and become a normal eater? Okay, do you believe that? Do you believe you can? Here's how you know. Because you can make incremental goals. They're realistic. Small steps create little wins, and little wins add up to big wins. Don't take on everything at once. You want to go after one or two diet rules at a time and debunk them, then take a couple others. That's where page 13 comes into play. Page 13 of Corinne's workbook has a little worksheet on it that says, pick two behaviors you want to adopt or practice stopping this month. Only two. Okay? You stay out of confusion and overwhelm. You just move to doing the next thing. Tell yourself, I refuse to complicate this. Right? I refuse to complicate this. Think about it. Corinne has four basics. They're super easy to understand. No complication. How do you know you can drop diet mentality? Number two, you know that you can persevere until you reach your goals. You keep going, mistakes and all. Think about practice. All right, you can't sit down at the piano and play the big Mozart piece the first time you read the music, right? You have to practice. You create muscle memory. You create neuropathways in your brain. You assess with no judgment and no drama. You evaluate. That's the keep, start, stop. What worked? What didn't work? You try something new. What do I want to change? What should stay the same? And you tell yourself, I'll figure this out. I'll make a decision. So make one, decide, and then like your decision. Oh my gosh, that's so important. You know, don't beat yourself up over a decision. Don't question your decision. Just decide that you're going to like it. All right, couple things that go without saying. You have to be committed. No half-assing. Yes, I said it, half-assing. Half-assing isn't committed. It's still sitting in confusion, wondering if this will work out. Is this really true? Can I really do this? Can I really drop these rules? What rules do I want to drop? I'm thinking about dropping them. I think I'll decide tomorrow what rules I'll drop. Maybe I'll think about which rules I'm going to drop. That's all half-assing. No thinking, just do, right? In fact, Corinne's written her April program all about that. You're going to have to practice resisting versus allowing. You're going to see these thoughts come in, and you're going to have to acknowledge them and say, oh yeah, you're that old diet mentality. I want you to picture this. This is kind of a cool visual. Let's say your diet mentality thought is, I'll get fat if I eat bananas. I can't lose weight eating bananas. All right? Picture that thought coming in, driving in a car, driving into a parking lot. Okay? And it's driving around the building, and you see it, and it's going to drive by, and you don't let it park. You tell it, just go right on out the parking lot. No parking. I see you. Hello? Out. We're not giving you any power today. Okay? And then you believe that you can do this. Change is slow and incremental, but when I look back at my habits and compare them to my now habits, my before habits, and compare them to my now habits, I see change. Am I a perfectly normal eater? No. But I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with probably never being. Okay? I have accepted who I am, and I care about who I am, and I have compassion for who I am. Do I have improvements to make? Sure, we all do, and that's okay, right? So that's what I wanted to share with you. You know, anybody can change their thoughts. You follow those six steps. You can change your diet mentality. You can become a more normal eater. You can put into practice more about your hunger scale and your protocols. You can do all that. So let's do this worksheet. Let's have a little interactive time, okay? I'm curious, on page 13, it says pick two behaviors you want to adopt or practice stopping this month. Only choose two to practice. Why do they seem appealing? So post in the chat what diet mentality thoughts you have that you're wanting to change. You know, it might be shaming yourself for your choices or what society says is normal, rushing through meals, ignoring your plus two, thinking you can't find plus two, eating to please others. What do you guys have? What are you guys working on? Put them in the chat. Let's see. I'll tell you which ones I'm working on. I want to stop thinking about what others are eating. I can't tell you the number of times I've sat at a table and thought, I need to order last so I can see what everyone else is eating, rather than making my own choice. The other one I want to work on is look up from my plate and not be so engrossed in my food. You know, I tend to be, you know, when I'm eating, I tend to be so focused on my food that I forget that I'm eating with people. So let's see. Paula says all or nothing mentality. Then we have Punky. I wish I knew who Punky was. I think I've coached you. I'm going to stop comparing my plate to others. Right. Megan says eat slower, no gobble gobble. Yes. One of the things, Megan, you can do is eat with your non-dominant hand. That'll slow you down because you'll be trying real hard to get your food in your mouth and keep it off your shirt, right? Christine is going to wait for her minus two. Paula says there are no bad foods. That is so true. There really are no bad foods. There are foods that are on your protocol and foods that are not on your protocol, right? And the ones that are not on your protocol are just exceptions. That's it. You just plan them. Let's see. Jill says her new thought is I'm relaxed around food. Yeah, that's great. Liz says, come up with fun conversation starters before meals to make it more about the people I'm with. Love it. Judy says, check in every few bites to see if I've had enough. Beautiful. Punky says, Alicia Smith. I don't know why I picked that username. Okay, perfect. Beth is going to put down her fork every few bites. Stacy stops using food to decompress after work. Yes, 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 yes. Food doesn't give you comfort, right? It doesn't give you relief. It doesn't give you any of those feelings. You can't use it to decompress. You know, decompress is an action. Food doesn't decompress you. It just distracts you. Liz, finding other ways to treat myself that don't involve food. Perfect. Megan, I can have this food again. It's not the last time I'll have it. Yeah, I was coaching somebody the other day. She said, She went to a restaurant where they have great cookies, and she said she did her recovery sheet on the cookie because she had not planned it. And in her recovery sheet, she said, next time I just won't go to that restaurant. And I was like, no. The restaurant doesn't decide whether or not you have a cookie. You do. So I told her, I said, your assignment is to go back to that restaurant and not get a cookie, knowing that you can eat that cookie some other time. It's okay to toss extra food. Such a great point. My mother never cared if she threw away food that she wasn't going to eat. She just didn't. Separating exceptions from overeating. Will not drink or add more food in my mouth while I'm still chewing. Perfect. Finish what's in your mouth. That's what normal eaters do. They take a bite, they taste it, they chew it, and they swallow it. Right? How novel. Eating for my family's feelings. I don't have to do that. I'm not responsible for their feelings. Exactly. Stop using food as entertainment. Yep. Eat when I feel stressed or worried. Right. Stop stressing about sometimes needing to eat dinner after 7 p.m. It doesn't matter what the clock says, just eat when I'm hungry. Perfect. Not thinking about being overweight while eating, getting rid of the shame. Yes, Michelle, so true. So true. Food only solves hunger. That's right. It doesn't solve the world's problems. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't give you feelings. It doesn't give you relief. It doesn't give you any of that stuff. So that's my presentation, guys. Does anybody want coaching about this? If you do, raise your hand and we will talk. Let's see. Stop defending my food choices. Oh, that's a good one. I would be really curious to know what that means, how that shows up for you. And Jody says, not thinking about my next meal while eating my current meal. Yeah. That was a good one for me. All right. Christine has raised her hand. Let's see what she's got. We can do two or three of these. So if anybody else wants to be coached, go ahead and raise your hand. Christine, I thought I clicked. It's being slow, but it's coming. Here we go. All right, look for your join audio button, probably around the bottom left, if you're on a computer.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can. How are you? I'm going to turn your volume up a little bit.
I'm great, Kathy. Thank you so much for the opportunity to coach. This is
sure.
Great. So I have been, I've been in the tribe since May of last year. Mm-hmm. I am down, before joining the tribe, but totally I'm down about 80 pounds. I still have another 20 to 30 go, and I have been hanging out here for like 5 months. And I did this last year too, like September, October to March, until I found the tribe. I'm like, am I just hibernating? And then in springtime, I'm going to get going again or what? But I have several things, and I've been doing some of the overeating course. Mm-hmm. And I am in a place of, like, I know exactly what to do. I almost didn't raise my hand. I know what you're going to, of course, I need to do this, this, and this. I need to figure out what I'm going to level up next. I need to, I've found my negative two. Like, I know where it is, and I know where my plus mm-hmm. two is. Waiting till the negative two to start eating, and mindful of it where I feel anticipation, like I'm anxious about like anticipating a meal versus, you know, just digging right in, or am I anxious versus really hungry? So I found all those things, which is good, but I really feel like I am stuck, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of the why I'm emotionally stuck.
Are you confused?
Yeah, I am. I feel like I shouldn't be. I feel like the answers are very clear. Like, strip away all the drama, strip away all the crap.
Okay, so if you weren't confused and if you didn't have all this drama, what would you do?
Yeah. Oh, God. I guess I would wait for my negative two. I would sit with discomfort more than I do. Mm-hmm. And my weekends are still, I've gotten better recently with weekends. Weekends are still a challenge to me.
Why are weekends a challenge? They're not. That's a thought. Weekends are Saturday and Sunday. That's the fact. No. That's the only fact about weekends.
They happen 52 times a year.
Right. Okay. There's another fact about weekends.
They come up a lot. I have a lot of chances to practice getting better at my weekends. But I'm trying to get, so I know exactly what to do. Why am I not leveling it up? I'll tell you, I've pretty much given up snacking. During the week, I do my 24-hour plan every day, and I've gotten in with two great ladies who are my assessment buddies, mm-hmm. or my accountability buddies. And so, mm-hmm. and every evening, boom, boom. And I've set up a little reward system. So when I do that, because I'm reading the Atomic Habits book too, up a little reward system. So when I do my good habit, my evening assessment, which is really important, penny in the jar and I'm saving up for something. So great, great, great. So I've just started that kind of reward system for building my good habit of assessing. And particularly I get a little extra if I plan and assess on the weekend.
Oh yeah. You should get a nickel for that.
I know. So I'm just starting. I know. That's like because, double time.
Because so weekends just, are so hard.
They are. No. So I think one of my weekend challenges is I still attend for like local accountability buddiness, still attend my local Weight Watcher meeting. And that is my weigh-in is first thing Saturday morning. So my weekend is like, that's like putting the stake in the ground. Okay. That week is behind. This week is ahead, you know? So I think I still have a little bit of the mentality that, oh, whew, I just, you know, went through 2 or 3 days of really, really being, you know, exceptionally clean and exceptionally good. And now
I deserve a treat,
whether yeah. it went well or badly at the scale. I deserve a little something where it's,
oh, I bet if we polled everybody on this call, mm-hmm. I bet 90% of them plan their exception meals for the day after they weigh or the day they weigh.
Yeah.
Because that's the diet mentality. It doesn't matter when your exception meal is.
I know.
If it's once a week and it's mm-hmm. the same thing, it doesn't matter what night it's on. Mm-hmm. If you think about it very realistically and from a data yeah. standpoint, but everybody mm-hmm. thinks, I've got to be really good Monday through Thursday so that when I mm-hmm. weigh in on Friday, I can blow my yeah. weekend. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's not true.
I know.
Normal that's eaters don't yeah, blow the weekend.
My accountability on the weekend. That's why I'm getting like double points for doing it on the weekend because I know that is
right. Well, it's that secret rule you have in your head that the weekends are supposed to be fun and spontaneous and you know whatever it is. But if you think about, I always think about my mother and I think about how she didn't overeat on the weekends any more than she did throughout the week.
Yeah.
She just mm-hmm. stopped eating when she wasn't hungry. It didn't matter what was on her plate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it doesn't matter if it's Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday or some other day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You still have to, if this is the life that you want, if you want life in a thin body, mm-hmm. you have to work your way toward pulling the BS light on the diet mentality and saying, if I wasn't thinking this, what would I be thinking? Right? So if you weren't thinking that weekends were hard, mm-hmm. what would you be thinking?
I'm not sure if it's that I think weekends are hard. I think it's that I feel I should be able to behave like a normal person 1 or 2 days a week.
Oh.
And okay. maybe there is still this shred of deprivation thinking. Like,
so how does a normal person act on the weekends?
I don't know. A normal person has a glass or two of wine or a beer and mm-hmm. eats out. And maybe they have dessert. And maybe they Saturday and Sunday. I don't know.
How does a normal eater act on the weekends?
How does a normal eater act on the weekends? I guess they eat when they're hungry. Those crazy people.
They eat all those things.
Yeah.
They plan them. They eat them. They're exceptions. They stop at their two.
And then they're done.
And then they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're either on protocol or they're not.
Yeah.
If they're not, they're exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
They stop at their two.
Yeah.
They eat when they're hungry.
Mm-hmm. I know. Right? I tell you, my husband is a normal eater.
Isn't it wonderful to have that example in your life?
It is. It took me a long time to get to where he's an example for me to follow and not someone to resent because he doesn't come to my food party. Like that took a lot of work. And I finally realized, I'm like, oh my God, maybe he's normal.
Well, now, why does he not come to your food party?
Not his jam. He doesn't. You know,
he's not hungry.
He's not hungry. And he's, well, I'll tell you, so my weekends are a challenge. So this is where I'm at. Like I cannot seem to get out of the 170s. I've been dancing around between like 171 and 175 for like 5 months. And I know it's weekends. My overeats are, I've been, you know, I track them. I know exactly what, when and why happen most of the time. Alone eating, secret. I'm a secret eater. I still have to. It doesn't happen nearly what it did 3 years
ago. Who are you keeping a secret from?
Still a flare up. Yeah, I know.
Who are you keeping a secret from? You always know, right?
Oh, I always know. Yep. I know when that I saw that accident coming. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, eating in secret is a fallacy. It doesn't exist because you still know. Yeah. You still have to look at yourself in the mirror and go, I know. I ate that.
I know. I know. So I feel like I know where my level ups need to be, and I'm not doing them.
So why don't you do them?
That's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of.
Ask yourself, why don't you do them? Because you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't want to. I don't know why. I think I have the belief that I need to be perfect in order to do this. And I'm not a perfectionist by any stretch of the imagination, but I feel like I'm at the point where I'm not eating a lot of snacks anymore. I'm fairly mindful of the -2 and the +2 and all of that. I feel like my portions are so much smaller than they used to be. Like the day I realized I didn't have to eat 2 eggs for breakfast, eat 1 egg for breakfast. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like I've leveled up so much.
Mm-hmm. You have.
Loved.
How much weight have you lost?
Like 80 pounds.
Okay. So you've leveled up 80 pounds worth of weight.
Yeah, I know.
If you want to level up 15 or 20 more pounds, you're going to have to work on the weekends. You're going to have to figure out the weekends. You're going to have to decide that eating on the weekends when you're hungry and to your +2 is worth 15 more pounds. Mm-hmm. You have to decide that you're ready to be a normal eater on the weekends too. Cause it sounds like you might be during the week, right? Are you?
I am pretty much. Yeah. And that's gotten pretty ingrained. It's gotten fairly easy, you know, and that's surprising too.
It's not surprising. It's not hard.
Yeah.
What's hard is up here. It's getting around the stuff that you tell yourself. Mm-hmm. It's getting around the diet rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that, I'm sorry, this was very unformed, this my thoughts coming into this.
I think it was great.
But, oh God. All right.
I just think you need to decide whether or not you want to be a normal eater on the weekends. And if it's worth if it's worth 15 more pounds to you or 20 more pounds or whatever your goal is.
Yeah, weekends.
Think about it.
Is it worth it?
Yeah. We have 21 meals a week, right? Mm-hmm. 6 of them are on the weekends.
Yeah.
It's like more than 25%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you count Friday night, then there's 7 meals. You're up to 7 meals, which is a third of the week.
Friday night's like a beautiful thing because I have to work Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fantastic.
Right. So a third of that. Think about that. That's a third of your week.
Yes. Yes, my Saturdays and Sundays are a little, you know, times. Mm-hmm. And I know what I need to do. I'm a little emotionally stuck with, I think, like I said, I think underneath it, I feel like there will be no latitude anymore. Like the ice
cream. Is that the truth?
Super heavy. No, of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. But it's stuck in there. Like intellectually.
Well, stop telling yourself that then, or answer it. Mm-hmm. There'll be no latitude. Yes, there will. I can plan exceptions. Mm-hmm. Start talking back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I sound like a crazy person around here sometimes because I talk back to myself out loud and I use that voice. Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, really, Kathy? And it's like my brain hears it. You take it to the next level because you've employed more senses and it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. I actually wrote a to-do list during this call.
Good.
-2. Finding -2, done. I have found my -2. Waiting for -2, that's next, to start eating. And sitting in discomfort. I'm going to start eating myself in my little jar for setting a 5-minute time.
That's a great idea. Discomfort is not terrible.
Yeah.
It's just discomfort. And if you think about, for anybody on this call, who doesn't like to sit in discomfort with their food, I want you to think about all the times during your day you are uncomfortable and how long, you know, what it is that, what kind of discomfort you have. You're figuring out a problem at work. You're thirsty, but you don't have a minute to run and go get a glass of water. You have to go to the bathroom. mm-hmm. but you have to wait for a minute before you can run to the bathroom. Whatever it is, you're talking to somebody you don't like. Mm-hmm. There's discomfort all the way through your day, but and then we tolerate just fine. Yeah. But when it comes to our food, mm-hmm. man, we don't like to be hungry. And hungry is
that urge.
Yeah, okay. Hunger's natural.
God. Yeah.
It's part of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm easy to find. It's that urge discomfort. Like, oh, I know there's something in the cabinet I want. Mm-hmm. You know, Monday night, Sunday night, that's an easy time to just, I move through that negotiation so fast I didn't even know what happened.
So slow it down.
Yep, I need to slow it down. That's what I need to do on everything. Slow it down. The overeaters, Corinne said, you know, you're solving for calm. Mm-hmm. That has been rattling around my head all month with that. Yep. I need to solve for calm. And I need to have an action plan. And I just keep saying myself, Christine, solve for calm. I need an actual, like.
You need a thought that creates calm. You need a thought that creates calm.
Okay. What would be a good, let's think about
that. Why do you want to be, I mean, how do you feel calm? I mean, if you know, what calms you? What thought brings you calm? That's what you need to decide. Do a thought download on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay.
I will. All right.
All right. See ya.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Michelle, you're up. Hello. Look for your join audio button.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So I almost got on the coaching call with you a couple days ago. And then I think I was just afraid. And then I heard Corinne's rant yesterday, and it just, I'm going to probably start crying now. It just broke me down. And so when you offered that tonight, I was like, I feel like I need to get on there. So
okay.
I'm struggling with several things, I think, but the two biggest things is I had joined in September and I started listening to Corinne's podcast in the May, June timeframe, shortly after I had my daughter and mm-hmm. really started to find some success with weight loss and then sort of hit a stall. And so we live in a multi-generational house, so my parents live here, and my husband and me and my two girls. Mm-hmm. My father has diabetes and it hasn't been greatly controlled, so we've always been working on decreasing carbs for him and for his health. Mm-hmm. And we've all been overweight, and it's funny because as a career, I actually am a diabetes educator. So the first thing is I sort of feel like an imposter being overweight and trying to counsel people on the right things to do when sometimes I know it, but I don't always do it myself.
Okay.
So that led to us as a family, with the exception of my father, who probably needed it more, starting to eat keto shortly after the new year.
Okay.
And while I went into that, I really think I know I was addicted to sugar. And I knew it was making me feel bad. And so I didn't want to go into it as this restricted diet that I needed to do, but almost like a detox to get away from that terrible feeling. But now I'm afraid to eat like a sweet potato. You know, I feel, so I've almost turned into a diet mentality when I didn't even really go into it in that way. Mm-hmm. And when I listened to Corinne's rant yesterday, I think all that fear came that, like, I'm afraid I can't do this. And I've lost almost 40 pounds, but I have so much more to go. And all that history has told me that I can't. And I'm trying to get away from that. So it's how do I change that thought that the food is the fuel, and that if I have a little bit of a potato, a sweet potato, rice, I'm not going to go down this path of like being addicted to carbs again.
Okay. First, were you diagnosed addicted to sugar?
No, I guess that's my own self-diagnosis. Now,
what sugar does, and I'm sure I'm not going to tell you anything here, but just for everybody else, especially processed sugar is engineered to create, when you eat it, to create cravings for more.
Right.
Right. The food industry has really done a number on us because they engineer this food that lights up our brains in a way that we just want more and more of it.
Right.
Okay. So if you set aside processed foods and sugars, do you believe sweet potatoes will do that?
No. But then when I think about eating them, mm-hmm. that's the thing that comes to my head, but I know that they don't.
Okay. So what if you just tell yourself that's not true? What if you just practice watching that thought come in and mm-hmm. saying, that's not true. Sweet potatoes come from the earth. That's a fabulous carb.
Right.
That's what the best, and your body needs some carbs, right? Even on keto, do you have any carbs at all?
I do. I have about 20 to 40, depending, but they come from, like we eat a ton of like high fiber vegetables, like broccolis, and, I'll eat pistachio nuts or things like that. So yes, I'm getting carbs. And that's the other thing is like, I know that I'm eating them, mm-hmm. but for some reason I associate a starchy vegetable like it's a gateway drug or something to processed food.
Well, that's your belief. That's
right.
That's a thought that you have practiced to justify your keto, probably. I mean, to say, I can't eat those because I'm going to gain weight. And look at me, I've lost all this weight not eating those. If I reintroduce them, all that weight's going to come back.
Right.
That's your belief. And that's what's not serving you. So that's the diet mentality. If mm-hmm. you didn't believe that, if you could take that big ball of belief and set it over here, what would you believe?
I would believe that if I eat the right amount of food that is going to fuel my body, that I will be fine.
Right.
I'll lose weight. I'll have energy. And I wrote down after Corinne's things, she sort of, you know, I refocused on like, why am I losing weight? And so much of what I write down, I can do even if I'm 300 pounds or whatever, you know? And the biggest thing is to be able to live longer, to see mm-hmm. my future generation. And there are plenty of people that live to 100 eating sweet potatoes, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've hit your compelling reason. You want to live a long time. You want to live a long, healthy life and see your children's children and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's when you well up like that, you know that that's the reason you want to lose the weight. What you're doing, though, is some pretty significant diet mentality. Good foods, bad foods, right? And eventually, that's not going to sustain you.
Yeah.
Right? So this is where you look at ladder thoughts. I'm open to believing a sweet potato is going to be okay. Okay, that might not mean that tomorrow you're going to eat a sweet potato, but if you practice that thought, if you practice, I'm willing to consider that I'll be able to eat rice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to believing that carbs out of the ground are absolutely fine as long as I eat them, you know, according to my hunger scale.
Yeah.
Right. And then you just, you know, once you get a handle on that and it doesn't make you nervous and anxious and whatever to think, you know, you move more toward, you know, neutral or maybe I'll try or whatever, then you just eat a little bit,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit. You just introduce a little bit and you see, you start to build the evidence that you're not going to gain weight because you've introduced a potato. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not like you've gone down the Little Debbie aisle and bought one of everything.
Right. And I think, you know, it's getting rid of the process. I don't have those cravings. And mm-hmm. it's really the fear of having cravings that gives me that belief that I can't, or that thought. And I just got to remove that.
Right. That's where you tell yourself potatoes don't give you cravings.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's where you actually start answering those thoughts. Just like I was telling Christine, when you have, you know, that thought, what if I get cravings? Potatoes don't give you cravings. Potatoes are good for you. You know, I bet you don't eat corn either. Well, a lot of people don't eat corn. A lot of people don't like corn.
I do love corn, but I don't eat it now.
So you start thinking in terms of protocol, which you have a protocol. And hunger scale, and no good foods, bad foods. Do you plan any exceptions now?
I planned a light beer last Friday, mm-hmm. and then my poor accountability group had to hear me like, I mean, so all culmination, I broke my elbow last Tuesday. And mm-hmm. so I've been on medicine for that. Mm-hmm. It was the time of the month. And then I had a beer on a Friday, and I was from Friday morning to Monday morning up 5 pounds. Again, I probably shouldn't have stood on the scale, but there's so many things going on. And I was like, see, I can't drink a beer because.
Oh, because pain medication makes me hold water, and I had my period and all that, right? Yeah. So blame the beer, Michelle. Beer.
This is, you know, this tells me I can't do it. And really, I know that that wasn't the data, but that's what my mind was telling me was happening.
So you just tell your mind you're wrong.
Yeah.
You just talk back.
And that's hard for us perfectionists, but I'm
No, it's not. No, it's not. That's a thought.
That's a thought too.
That's a thought. You just recognize it. No, what you do is you get used to recognizing the fact that your brain isn't always telling you what you want it to tell you. That's really all it is. It's very simplistically said that way. My brain told me when Ken left to go to the yoga studio that there was chocolate downstairs that I should eat. He'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I was like, no, I'll know. And that chocolate's not for today. You know, you just talk back.
Mm-hmm.
You just talk back because you know, that logical part of your brain. Think about it as the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. You got this logical part of your brain that knows all the right thoughts that you want to think. And then you have that habit brain that's over here going, better not eat a potato. Potatoes are bad. Light beer is also bad because you'll gain 5 pounds. And that logical part of your brain's going, Michelle, you were on your period. Right? So it's like the angel and the devil on your shoulder. You just listen to the conversation and you decide which one you want to follow. But you have to have the conversation in order to say, you know what, the logic of this situation is this. The mm-hmm. emotion of the situation is that. Which one do I want to follow?
Yeah.
And then you own the decision. You make the decision and you say, I'm happy with it. This is going to be it.
And I agree. You had mentioned earlier on the call too about not getting on the scale, that the diet mentality is getting on that scale every day. And there was some other program that I had looked at before, Corinne, that had encouraged weighing daily just to use it as data. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was doing that, but only when the scale was staying where it was or going down. But when mm-hmm. it goes up, it's all of a sudden I go back into that diet mentality. So I've told myself Friday mornings only. I can't get on that because I've got to separate myself from it.
Yeah, I'm not averse to people weighing daily. What I'm averse to is them making it mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, your body is going to fluctuate
you know,
naturally every single day. So if you, you know, gain 2 pounds overnight and you go into a tailspin, you know, you really don't have enough data to decide whether or not you should go into a tailspin.
Right.
You know, you just might not have pooped. Or you might be on your period, or, you know, seriously, it could be just that simple.
Right.
Right.
Or you didn't drink all your water yesterday.
Right. Right. Yeah. You didn't flush it. You know, whatever. It could just be that simple. And a couple of pounds fluctuation from day to day is 100% normal.
My brain knows that. I'm going to start. Your brain does know that.
Right. That's what you have to do. You really have to tune into the logical part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know what, I think you're right, and I'm going to practice that thought for a little bit. And then you thought download, why do I think a potato is bad? And then you get to the bottom of it and decide if you like the reason.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any good reason,
no.
So I don't like it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So potato's not bad. So maybe you're willing to think about the fact that you might be able to eat a potato and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to think about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I think part of this too is that I've wanted to expand. I think I went into keto thinking this will be a way for me to dial back on mm-hmm. those cravings and eating the processed mm-hmm. food with the full intention that I would move into a normal eating pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I'm getting to that point now, that's where all the fear setting in.
Yeah.
And so it's me wanting to do that. Not sure that my family will go along with that, whether it will affect them, but I've got to eat for myself, not for them.
It's not going to affect them. It's, I mean, don't even entertain that thought. It's not up to them. If you want a potato, you eat a potato.
Yeah.
If they want a potato, they can have a potato.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like if you were on keto and nobody else was, that'd be your choice.
Yeah. And if I don't want a potato, I don't have to eat it. So that's the other thing too.
That's right. But make sure you like your reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing for you. You know, if you've decided a potato is bad, then that's probably not a good reason not to eat one.
Right.
It's probably worth looking into.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Awesome.
I think sometimes just talking out loud too, just it makes it helpful. So we appreciate it. And you have the best calming voice. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Is there anybody else? I'm going to hit this Q&A. See, oops, it's way over here. Jill, but do normal, naturally thin eaters really plan what they're going to eat? Plan exceptions, etc. Every normal eater I know and observe just eats when hungry and stops when they've had enough. No drama. Right. The rules of normal eating don't include planning. Okay, in the book. They're all about the protocol and they're all about the hunger scale. We teach planning as a way to make decisions ahead of time and as a way to ensure that you're eating what you want to eat. So, you know, normal eaters may not drink 64 ounces of water a day or get 7 hours of sleep at night. We just know that those are tools that you guys can definitely use and should use in order to lose weight. So that's why we teach the planning, because it's just a really great tool to keep yourself in line. So I hope that answers your question, Jill. Anybody else? Are there any other questions? Any other coaching? All right, you guys. I don't see anything else. I hope this was helpful. It was really interesting for me to research and read about. Oh, let me show you this book real quick. It's called The Rules of Normal Eating, A Common Sense Approach for Dieters, Overeaters, Undereaters, Emotional Eaters, and Everyone in Between. So if you're interested, it's a pretty easy read. Thanks for playing. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys have a go. Oh, I see a hand. Hold on. Let's see who's over here. Tammy. Let's see what you got. Tammy, I don't see you or hear you. Not sure what happened. I'm going to take you back down to attendee. Raise your hand again. Let's see if it was a Zoom problem. Raise your hand again for me, Tammy. Maybe your hand was raised by mistake. Setting issue. Let's try again. Oh, goodness. Which one of you was it, Tammy Wills or Tammy Sanders? Let's try Tammy Wills. I don't know which Tammy it was. Yeah, that doesn't, whatever you've got setting, whatever your setting is, Tammy, it's not coming up for some reason. Man, I wish I knew what to tell you. Whatever your question is, Tammy, why don't you pop it into Ask Coaches, and I'll look for it, okay? And we'll see what we can figure out for you. See if that worked. Oh, there you are. All right, we have video. I need your audio. Look for the join audio button. If you're on your phone, it's probably bottom left. Oh, maybe that's it.
Oh, I can hear something.
Yep, good.
Great. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. How are you?
I just got home from the gym just a little while ago. I have a quick question, and okay. I'm hoping it'll help others too. But I have been in a little bit of a funk lately, and I made myself just kind of go to the gym and kind of made the decision to do some things. But I was wondering if in some of your coaching, if you've been able to give some examples of things to do to kind of help.
Help what? Being in a funk?
Yeah. And, you know, and so when I get there, you know, sometimes you eat or sometimes you don't eat, or you're just kind of,
What are you in a funk about? Are you talking about being in stage two?
No, I think it's more just like a slight depression, or just really being, I don't know, not happy. And you know, when you
okay.
say,
so it's an emotional funk.
Yeah, I think because, you know, sleeping patterns just a little off mm-hmm. lately. And then one day I just recognized, I'm like, huh. And short of going to the doctor, which, you know, could possibly happen, I've been just trying to force myself to do things. Like going to the gym is a routine thing for mm-hmm. me normally. Mm-hmm. But I've had to, like, I feel like I've stepped back one whole year, you know? So I was just curious if there was any.
What do you mean step back one whole year?
Meaning, like, I've been working out for over a year, and mm-hmm. I feel as if when I first started, there were times where I had to just lay my clothes out, just say, no, I'm going, or have a conversation with myself. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you're going. No, I'm not. Well, yes, you are. You know, that kind of thing, which hasn't happened in so long. So I just didn't know if there was...
So you're not motivated to go to the gym? You're not motivated to, is that what you're saying? You lost a little motivation?
Perhaps.
Okay. Yeah. So motivation is built with action. So you did exactly the right thing. You have to, it's like pushing through the mud to get to the other side. All right. So motivation, right, is built with action. Uh-huh. So is momentum, all of that, all those kinds of feelings that keep you going develop because you keep going when it feels hard, when it feels like you're in a funk. A lot of times what I'll do when I'm in a funk is I'll make myself get outside and go for a walk because A, I move the juices, right? I get everything flowing, I feel better, and I get some sunshine.
Yes.
So I think you did exactly the right thing. It's the same thing when you get in a funk around your food or around planning. You know, you're in diet mentality. You just keep doing what you think you're, what you're supposed to do. You know, you keep acting as if everything was feeling good, everything was great, because that builds the momentum and it builds the evidence that you can push through and that you can, you know, be the normal eater and the normal exerciser and all that kind of stuff. So I think you did exactly the right thing.
Well, and I appreciate that because I don't know if you saw, but kind of a light bulb just went off for me. Like, oh, keep doing the mm-hmm. actions, even when you don't feel like it. And we hear that often, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things because you don't, lack of motivation, you don't feel like it, but mm-hmm. just go do it mm-hmm. anyway.
Just do it anyway. Right. No matter what. We have that hashtag in the tribe, NMW, no matter what. Just keep going.
I like it.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Actions. Take care.
That's right.
Kathy.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. One more person because we need to wrap up about 7:00. Cheryl, you are next. I just lost your video. I've had you for a minute. So I need your video and your sound. I wish Zoom hadn't changed those settings. Cheryl, come back to me. All right, I'll give you another minute or two. So, tacking on to what I was telling Tammy, to build motivation, that's also, oh, Cheryl just left. That's also how you build confidence. You know, confidence can also be achieved by pushing through the motions and acting as if. That way you show yourself that you can do things, and it creates confidence in what you're doing, creates evidence that it works, things like that. So Corinne and I just recorded a podcast on confidence, and I loved it. Y'all will always know when I'm quiet on a podcast because I'm soaking it in. I'm soaking in all the wisdom of the queen and learning. So anyway, all right. I think Cheryl's gone. So I'm going to call it, you guys. I hope you have a great night, and I will see you in the groups. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.